John chapter 14 this morning in the selective scripture that we had, the responsive scripture reading. And in there, I don't know if you caught it, but at the beginning of that scripture reading, Jesus Christ talked about something that he often did. It's one of his themes of the book of John. He talked about greater works. And as you read through that book, starting in John chapter 1, and as you read Jesus' teachings in the book of John, he talks about greater things. In John chapter 1, he says to Nathanael, he says, "If I said to you, I saw you, or I knew you when you were under the fig tree, follow me and you will see greater things than these." And throughout the book, Jesus Christ talks about the coming greater things, the greater works, the things that are coming after he would die on the cross, rise from the dead, and establish the church. And as we think about those greater things, we have to kind of, one of the things that we talk about and we discuss is, and we, in a Sunday school class that you might listen to and hear about, is something like about dispensation. And I know when we talk about in church, sometimes we talk about dispensation. People go, "I have no idea what you're talking about when you say that word dispensation." But as we talk about dispensation, it says God governs the world differently at different times. And so through the course of human history, we see that the way that God interacts with people has been different depending upon the time period in which you live. For instance, we do not go to the temple once a year and offer a sacrifice. We don't celebrate the Day of Atonement in the church age. And during the days of Israel, they did not have communion that they would perform on a regular basis in the church service. And you might say, why? Has the religion, has God changed? Well, it's the way that God deals with the world. And at different times, he has chosen to deal with the world differently. And during the church age, we live in such a privileged time. And Jesus Christ laid that out. He said, when I die on the cross and I leave you, I will leave you with certain things that are going to be greater than anything this world has ever known and has ever experienced, and they are my gift to you. I leave these greater things to you. Things that we see, things that we kind of experience and we encounter in the Old Testament that come and are answered and available to us in an abundant way in the New Testament. And we are so excited. I hope you realize how privileged you are to live in the age of grace. And as we've been kind of looking here and looking through this passage of Scripture about this widow's oil, that I entitled this, "The Debt Has Been Paid, God Provides." And so often in our lives today, we feel that we, as we stated here, Silas, is the receiver up on top? What? I did, okay. Am I clicking it now? All right, there you go. Then we saw that we had a widow that knew loss, that had an insurmountable debt, that her children were soon to be facing slavery. And those were real concerns to her, real problems that she needed fixed and helped in her life. And today, we have real problems and things that feel like they can overwhelm us. And in this passage of Scripture, let's look and see what God provided and what he did for this woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. In 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves.' So Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?' And he said, 'Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil.' Then he said, 'Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour it into all those vessels, and set aside the full ones.' So he went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass that when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel.' And he said to her, 'There is not another vessel.' So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest.'" As I think about this passage of Scripture, we saw last week that Elisha gave this woman, who felt that she knew loss, she had a debt that she couldn't pay, and she was in danger of having her sons sold as slaves. And in our lives, we know loss. We've experienced loss. We grieve. Our hearts are broken. We feel that we have a debt that maybe we can't overcome, something that is burying us, and we need to get out because sin has left us as a slave. We need someone to step in and pay attention and care to our needs. Someone like Elisha who will step in and say, "What can I do for you? How can I help? What do you have in your life?" And this woman had a jar of oil that needed to be filled. And I said that we need to be an empty jar, ready to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And she began to take these pots that she had collected, and they brought them in from all over the place, and they began to fill them with oil. And throughout the Scriptures, oil is used symbolically to teach us, and so that we can learn things about the Holy Spirit and His ability to fill our lives and make a difference in our life. And the Holy Spirit is something that Jesus Christ promised would be able to be available for us to fill our lives and to make a difference in our homes and our family and in our world, and comfort us, teach us, help us, heal us, and make a difference in our sphere of influence. And I want to take a look this week about how in this story, oil is the key. Oil is what God provided. Oil is what paid the debt. Oil is what saved these children from slavery and allowed them to find new and abundant life because they cried out to God for change and for help. And that's what we'd like to look at this week. I was thinking yesterday about what I was going to talk about this morning. And I had a lot of time to think last night because my daughter wanted to go on a bike ride. So I took her on a bike ride. And we were biking around and going all over the place. I watched my daughter and her cousin. They were way up ahead of me. And I just kept my eye on them. And I was just thinking as I followed them. I was thinking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I was remembering, it's been so long since I've been able to ride a bike. When I was up at the camp, I would ride horses all day long. And I'd ride them from the time I woke up in the morning to the time I got to bed at night. And I was sore, my legs were sore, and I didn't want to think about riding a bike. But as a kid, I loved riding a bike, and probably a lot of you can relate. When you were a child, you loved to just ride a bike all over the place, and that's the way I felt. And as I was riding with my daughter, I thought, you know, as a kid, I could just ride this thing and ride this thing and ride this thing. We used to ride it through the same neighborhood. And my dad, one year for Christmas, he bought me a bike. And they brought me into the living room, sat down to get the presents, and my brother was getting all these presents, and I wasn't really getting presents. I was like, what's going on this year? You know, when you're a kid. But now I think to myself, as Christmas comes along, I was just like, get the kids all the presents. I don't. But when I was a kid, that was a big deal. And I was like, Sean's getting like, Dad, what? Did I get dessert? That was, my father has his mentally handicapped brother. And Uncle Donnie, I don't know, I've talked about Uncle Donnie. You get Uncle Donnie three gifts and you're great, right? You can either give him a pack of gum, a t-shirt, or a watch, and everything's good. You give him anything else, he doesn't care. But if you give him a pack of juicy fruit gum, not bubble yum, juicy fruit, or a t-shirt, just as long as it's Ford trucks, no Chevys, okay? And on his t-shirts or a watch, you're good. And so but we always tease Uncle Donnie when he's opening his gifts that he was bad that year and he's just going to get a bag of coal. And a couple of times I've had an aunt that's been kind of mean to Uncle Donnie and gotten him a bag of coal. But he laughs about it and we tease him and we get him up. And then we give him his watch and everything is perfect. But I thought maybe I was just getting coal that year. And I don't know, I began to pout or something. This isn't... Oh, Dad, I thought maybe I was getting a bike or something. So my dad says, so Scott, go on out to the garage. I go out to the garage and I look around. There's nothing here. Dad says, look on the wall. And hanging on the wall is my new BMX bike. I was like, yes, the bike. And everything changed. You know, I took that bike and I rode that bike, I think, till the wheels fell off. I rode it and rode it and rode it and rode it. You know what my dad said? He said, Scott, you know, I bought that bike for you a while ago. And I hung it on the wall. It's been sitting there for like 2 weeks. I think about the Holy Spirit. You know, I was thinking about that last night. I was following these girls, and I was remembering my old bike. I was like, Jesus Christ, if we're sitting here as Christians, and I'm like, God, I feel like I'm in over my head. I feel loss, and it hurts so bad. I feel like I can't find forgiveness. I feel like I'm in over my head and I'll never be able to recover. And God, I need you. And I feel like everything that was offered to me in a relationship with you just seems so far out of reach. Feel like I did on Christmas morning when my brother was opening all these presents and I was getting jealous. I think if Jesus Christ were today, he said, you know, I promised you greater things than the world would have to offer, than mankind has ever been able to experience. I gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's been there in your heart all along. You've walked past the Holy Spirit hundreds of times. And he's there to help you through these problems. Use him. Cry out to him. I sometimes, when people will call me and I'll pray to them, for them. I'll pray for them that God will help them. I think I have no idea the words to say, the things that would make the right thing to help in this situation. And I just pray, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be the comforter, the teacher that he has promised to be. And that you will help this person get through this trial, this tribulation, this thing that seems like they can't get through. Because the Holy Spirit is the key. And in this story, God provided oil. And the oil just kept coming and just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming until the need was met. In this story, oil is the key. And oil here is a figure of the Holy Spirit. When you think about it, we're going to talk about oil and what the Bible has to say about oil, and we're going to try to relate it to the Holy Spirit. I know Pastor Baker, we used to anoint someone with oil when they'd come and they would ask for it. And he used to tell me, Scott, I've had the same oil sitting in this drawer since I got here. I just bought it at the grocery store. It wasn't any magic oil, nothing special about it. He kept it in the drawer. It's still there in the drawer, the same bottle. So there's nothing magical about oil. But when we think about the Holy Spirit and the power that he has to change, that oil is with the power of prayer and laying on of hands, and the Holy Spirit's work in someone's life can make a difference. You know, I think so often that a lot of what we think about Christianity comes from what we have seen on television. And that's something I think I'm going to try to say at least once a week. Is so much of what we believe about Christianity comes from what we think we see on television. We think that they're like, if we wear a cross around our neck and we rub cross, that's going to make a difference in getting us through the tribulation. No, it's Jesus Christ who died on the cross. We think that maybe if we put a drop of oil on our head, that will magically save. No, it's the Holy Spirit that is symbolically displayed through oil in the scriptures. That if we have a piece of cracker and grape juice on a Sunday morning, that's going to solve all our problems. No, it's the Jesus Christ whose body was broken and whose blood was shed to save us from our sins. It's going to make a difference. So as we talk about oil this morning, and as we look at the Holy Spirit, please remember that there is not some magic oil, but there is a Holy Spirit that God has promised to us that makes a difference in our lives. Oil is the key. She did what she was told. She brought in these empty jars and began filling them with oil, and the oil just kept coming. The oil kept coming. The oil kept coming, and God provided oil. So what's so big about oil, and what's the big difference that oil makes? The first thing is that when you think about oil, it's something to illuminate the darkness. Oil was used as fuel to light something and to light the way. When I think about it, we think we use scripture verses like, "Thy word is a lamp unto my path and a light unto my feet." That would be an idea of oil lighting the way. We looked over in the verse that I've got up there is 2 Peter 2:9. I said, remember 2 Peter 2:9 because we looked at that last week. It's actually 1 Peter 2:9. So I'd like you to take your Bibles and open to 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 9. 1 Peter 2:9, we looked at that last week as we looked at the desire to change. In 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." That's what God has desired to do. He's desired to call you and to take you out of darkness and to place you into his marvelous light. This world is a dark place, absent from the light of God, absent from the truth, absent from the light to light your path. And if we call on the Holy Spirit, maybe you don't know what to do today, what direction you should take, what turn you should make, how to get out of this situation, how to find help in the time of need, call to the Holy Spirit. He can take the Word of God and light your path in a dark, dark world, for He has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Not only is oil used to rid the darkness and to bring us into light, oil is also used as a healing agent. Let's look over in our Bibles to Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14. It's not too often that you get to take a chance to go to the book of Leviticus on a Sunday morning, so we'll take it and we'll read from Leviticus chapter 14. In Leviticus chapter 14 and verse 10, it says, "And on the eighth day he shall take two male lambs without blemish, one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, and one log of oil. Then the priest who makes him clean shall present the man who is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And the priest shall take one male lamb and offer it as a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall kill the lamb in the place where he kills the sin offering and the burnt offering in a holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of his right ear, on him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil, and pour it into the palm of his left hand. Then the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle some of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And the rest of the oil in his hand, the priest shall put some on the tip of his right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right ear, and on the big toe of his right foot, on the blood of the trespass offering. The rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed. So the priest shall make atonement of him before the Lord." In this passage, we're looking at the ritual of what the priest would do to heal the leper. And what they would have to do is they'd have to bring them in, and as you saw, they would take this oil as part of the cleaning agent to heal the leper. You think about leper. They were a person that was ridiculed by their community, put on the outside of society, and then they had a disease that was destroying their body. And God said, "Here's what I want you to do for the leper, so that he will be cleansed." And the ultimate goal of what they would do with this leper is to get him clean physically and restored to society. And it says in there, as we were ending, it says atonement before the Lord, the relationship being made right. And this oil was used as a cleaning agent. I began this morning by talking about, we talk about being a part of a dispensationalist. We talk about God governs the globe differently at different times. If you were sick today, we wouldn't bring you into church and put you through this ritual. Because we know that living in a time after Jesus Christ has fulfilled the law, died on the cross for the sins of mankind, and given us the ability to have a restored and atoned relationship before God. Today, when you're sick, you can, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you can pray that the Holy Spirit will help that person be healed. that relationships will be restored, that you can be restored to your society. So often, sin that enslaves us, that brings us down, has separated us from those we love, like a leper would be separated. A physical ailment drags us down, and we can almost feel the devil using a physical affliction to keep us from serving the Lord. We have the ability today to go to the Holy Spirit and say, Spirit of God, will you please heal my heart? Heal my broken relationships. Heal this physical need so that I can be used by you. And we don't have to go to a priest and have this ritual be taking place. No wonder Jesus Christ said, after I died on the cross and rose again, I will give you greater things. I will give you the Comforter. And he will remain with you. And he will teach you all things. He will never leave you or forsake you. I'm so thankful for those greater things. Let's look over our Bibles to James chapter 14. James chapter 14. I talked just a little bit ago about how Pastor Baker had that jar of oil in his desk that I have in my desk. And every once in a while, someone will come and say, I have a sickness and I can't seem to shake it. I need a prayer of intervention. I need someone to come and pray that I can be healed. I wish more often that people would come and ask for James chapter 5 over their life. That the Holy Spirit would come and help them in their time of trouble. And in James chapter 5, in verse 13, I know it says 14 up there, that's the key verse, but let's start in verse 13 to get some context. It says, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, then he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. We have, as believers in Jesus Christ, if you are here today and you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit has the ability to help you, to comfort you, to teach you. And here we see that if we pray, we are to come together, acknowledge our sins and our trespasses before God, because God has the ability to abundantly answer our requests. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is verse 16 that says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. In this passage it says, anoint the brother who is sick with oil and pray over them. It's important that we practice that, knowing and understanding that the oil here is a symbol. It helps us know that the Holy Spirit has the ability to be a healing agent in our life. Healing from a physical ailment, healing from the sins that are setting us back, that are destroying our lives, that are making us a slave and putting us in bondage. The Holy Spirit is powerful, has the ability to make a difference in your life. I wrote down in my notes here, the oil is not magical, but the Spirit of God is all powerful. And that's an important truth for us to remember. And God has given us the Holy Spirit to make a difference in our lives. Oil as a symbol of the Holy Spirit was often used to anoint the heads of kings, to take people and to anoint them for a special mission by God. Often we see this throughout the scriptures, that God takes oil and he wants to set someone apart to do a special purpose, and he's going to use the Holy Spirit to do that. And he anoints the heads of many kings. Let's look in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let's start in 1 Samuel chapter 10. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, in verse 1, it says, "Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, 'Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance?'" And in verse 10, we continue here in verse 6 it says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs come to you, that you will do as the occasion demands, for God is with you." In this passage of scripture, Saul is anointed as the king. Saul is anointed by God to do a special work. And it says many times that when the Holy Spirit came on someone, as they are anointed to do a special job by God, the Holy Spirit rushed on them and empowered to do something that they could not do on their own. As you think about Saul is known for when he was called on to be the king, to end up going hide from the task at hand. But when that Holy Spirit came on him and he was anointed to do the job, he became a different man and he went out and did the work of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit here came through the anointing of the on the head with oil. And I don't know how you feel today, but maybe you say, "I don't know if I can ever be used by God. Look at me. What gifts, what abilities do I have? I can't speak. I don't talk very well. I can't communicate what's in my heart. I can't do physical." You know, some people, they go out and serve God by passing out Bibles or serving at the church, or they're a prayer warrior, or they're witnessing for God. They're doing all these good things for God. They're God's servants. And I have no talents, no abilities. In the New Testament, I see a God that gives his Holy Spirit in people's lives to help them to do the fruits of the, what's it called? The fruits of the Spirit. And today you say, "What use am I? What good can I be used by God?" Well, if you have that Holy Spirit inside of you, because you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he has the desire and the ability to use you. Remember the example of the bike. My dad just took it and hung it on the wall, and I walked past it every day for a couple of weeks before Christmas. Wasn't paying any attention to it. It was always there. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, he said he had promised that as a believer in Jesus Christ, that you had the Holy Spirit in you to help you to do things, to serve him. And how often do we, throughout the day, we just go about our lives and we never pay attention to the fact that Jesus Christ said, "I'll put the Holy Spirit and he'll be in you, he'll empower you, he'll help you." We just walk past him again and again and again. And don't ever ask him to help us to accomplish the things that he would have us to do. Yes, you've never been like Saul, anointed as king. so the Holy Spirit would rush on you so you could speak boldly to people. But Saul lived in a different dispensation. I so often, I said this on Wednesday night, there are 75 chapters of the Bible that are dedicated to the life of David. That's a lot. A big portion of the Bible is dedicated to the life of King David, who, like Saul, we're going to read in just a minute, or probably next week, had the anointing of the Holy Spirit for him to be king. But when we read in the Old Testament, we read about Saul anointed by God. We also read that after Saul began to disobey God and to not be a merciful king, the Holy Spirit of God left him. And an evil spirit came in and took its place, to the point where Saul is throwing javelins at David trying to kill him. We live in a different time. Jesus Christ said, I will give you greater works than these. The comfort will come and he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And you as a believer in Christ don't need someone to come and pour oil over your head so the Holy Spirit will rush on you and cause you to do great mighty acts like Saul. Sitting there in the wall of your heart, waiting to be used, waiting for the ability to be a comforter, to teach you, to give you the words to speak, to help you serve him, to help you in the time of your need. So today, take, like I took that bike off of the wall, and I got on it, and I rode around town, and I loved it, and I just saw it, and, you know, it was awesome. Holy Spirit, if you know Jesus Christ, he's ready for you to use him today. And as we think about this, I would be amiss if I didn't take the opportunity to say, maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You feel like the debts of your life are building up and piling on, and you feel like you're a slave to sin. You have no idea what I'm talking about when I say there's a Holy Spirit that has the ability to help you, to make a difference in your life. You say, I want to know what that's like. I want to be able to cry out to God and him to be able to say, I will help you through this. Come to him today. Cry out to God for salvation. And learn what it means to have the gift of the Holy Spirit to help you in your time of need. Because God will just take the Holy Spirit and start pouring it into your life. And there's never an off switch. The Holy Spirit can just do amazing things. He can heal. He can restore. He can help. He can anoint you to do a great and mighty work. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Lord, you gave us that gift. And Lord, maybe this morning we're not crying out to your Holy Spirit, not asking him for help, but we need to. I pray, Lord, that you might just help us to cry out to you. Maybe we need healing, physical healing in our life. Lord, the Holy Spirit has the ability to heal. Maybe sin is keeping us from a right relationship from you. Help us to confess our faults to each other, to pray that God will heal and to find healing from the Holy Spirit. Maybe we feel as if we're separated from our community, like a leper. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would help and restore. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here who's not using the Holy Spirit in their life to the fullest, and they need your Holy Spirit to help them this morning, to cry out to you and to find you faithful and a comforter and a teacher. Bless us as we leave this place today. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please take your hymnals this morning.